Hey y'all, it's Will Basham from New Heights Church. I'm in my truck listening to the Bad Apples podcast, and now you are too.
When that music starts playing, and when the coffee starts brewing, and then when the coffee is poured into our cups, and when the steam is rolling from our cups, and we put our cups together and say cheers, you already know that it's a new episode of the Bad Apples podcast. I've been watching Ted Lasso, and he says the happiest animal on earth is a goldfish because it has a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish. I think we need to forget some things that are holding us back. I think that we need to forget some things that we've done wrong and forget some failures and forget some mistakes. Just like Paul says, he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I got my good friend, my brother, Mike Skaggs, back on the Bad Apples podcast with us today. Man, let's get to it.
Man, Mike, what is up?
Well, first off, I got two problems.
Okay, two problems.
I don't have a cup of coffee that you so brilliantly introduced. Where is the coffee?
Listen, the coffee is still in my coffee machine. It's still in the brewer. It has
a lot of people
brewed.
Call it a coffee pot.
Okay, coffee pot.
And you forgot it.
It's still there. It's not brewed. Oh. So I'll have it for in the morning. So our coffee that was for tonight will be my coffee in the morning.
It's now a breakfast blend. Yeah. I got you. Second.
Yeah,
two. Ted Lasso never met my grandmother because she tells me the same story over and over. She meets new people every morning.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Alzheimer's.
My new neighbor has introduced herself at least four times to me. So she needs to be a goldfish.
Have we met before?
Just like, so what brought you here? I'm like, well, the same thing that brought me here four times ago. Mm. Oh, man. Yeah. So the intro built up this wonderful cup of coffee. It's not the Bad Apples podcast without coffee, but actually, there's only one person with coffee in the room, and she's sitting over there reading a book. So,
hi, Angie. I'm caffeineless right now.
Yeah, same. Oh, but we can think about it. We can think about coffee and dream about coffee.
All right, we'll do that.
Yeah, we'll do that. So what's been up with you, man?
What are we doing? What's up with me?
Yeah.
Work.
Work.
Work, work. Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. New show. We're doing our show.
Yeah, dude.
Tell them about it. If you haven't watched the Mike and Cody show, you're missing out.
The Mike and Cody show. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun with it.
We're the talent.
How did... Exactly. I think you're the talent.
No way.
tell us a little bit about how we got started on that.
Oh, the Mike and Cody show. You know, so last year we did the Hope-a-thon for Feed My Starving Children.
Okay.
And so just in front of the mic, in front of the TV, and it was just fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, you know, we could do a show that just to have fun and just to, you know, connect people.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're all about. So
yeah,
I just got to thinking about it and developing it and talked to Jackson about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's all on board. Originally, like everything I do, I went, you know, massive. Let's do a one-hour show with the Rockettes and all that stuff. But Jackson, you know, said, okay, let's slow her down.
Yeah.
Let's start slow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now that you're on board, we have some dreams for it.
Yeah.
I think we want to, you know, make some fun stuff, not just the little 3-minute stuff, but maybe actually get a vlog going or get a show going, you know, 30, 40 minutes, do some really fun stuff.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, it's, you know, it's a work in progress.
I think we were just having so much fun together, you know, in our fun little way.
Yeah, because I had thought about it. I had been thinking about it for months, and then you and I did the last podcast.
Yeah, sure.
And I felt like we just hit it off so well that, hey, man, this is we've got something here.
We did.
And it was kind of the chemistry. Kind of the last puzzle piece, because I had already spoken to Jackson about it. And then
are you calling me a puzzle piece?
Yeah, you are a puzzle.
I'm more of a puzzle.
You're more of an enigma.
I'm the whole puzzle, Mike. No, yeah, we had a lot of chemistry, you know, not, you know, just talking and having fun and laughing. And that last podcast that we done together was super fun.
Yeah.
So it just made sense to just start recording everything we do together.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Sometimes bathroom humor gets a little old, but that's all right.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with bathroom humor.
Right. So what we got on tap today?
Man, we're going to dive into this topic, or maybe not a topic, but just something that I felt like I think about a lot, and I try to not rationalize, but I try to just kind of weigh on it a little bit, chew on it a little bit. Have I forgiven myself for my past? Whether it's something specific or whether it's just in general, because a lot of times I find myself beating myself up about things that I know that God has forgiven me for. So my question is, how do we forgive ourselves and move on?
See, I don't have those thoughts as much as you, or I don't reflect on as much because you and everybody around me are much better people than I am. And there's no way I could forgive myself for some of the stuff I've done in the past.
Yeah.
But I do now that, now that Christ is in my life, I do give myself a break.
Sure.
And I do promise myself never to slide back in that direction.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do our thing.
Yeah.
But never will I go back to the person that I was. So I guess in that respect, I've forgiven myself, you know, in the respect that I think of myself as two different people now. That was who I was.
You're a new creation.
Yeah, now this is who I am. And then, you know, little stuff that, you know, we all play that game of closer to God, farther from God, closer to God, you know, and pulling back. And it's always... It always feels, you know, I don't want to call it a game, but it's always that, is he really forgiven us? Should I forgive him? Do I have to forgive myself first? And the reality is, no, I don't. But yet, he forgives us and we're still like, you know, stuck down in the mud about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my thing is like, man, I know I read what I read in the scripture and I know the word and I know what it says and I believe wholeheartedly that he has taken my sin and he's forgiven me, but then I act like he hasn't.
Right.
I remember things and I pretend, like, it's not like I pretend, but it's like I have to try to do what Ted Lasso does and forget about it and try to move on and try to be that new creation and understand that, okay, that is my past. And if my past is being brought up, then it's not being brought up by God. So that's a tough thing that it's like, all right, you know, because a lot of times I will battle with, you know, kind of picturing God as like remembering my sin. And he doesn't.
No.
Like he forgives it.
I kind of stay away from, like, you read, I know that you read a ton of literature.
Right.
And stuff like that. I don't do the whole self-help thing.
Yeah.
And I find myself, I like to live in the just faith.
Yeah.
And the just go with it.
Yeah.
Because if I overthink things, I'm a black or white person. It's all this way or all that
way.
Absolutely. So I kind of try to stay away from the shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself, if I read something, overthinking it, and then it just starts this big circle of something I can't control.
Absolutely.
I just kind of stay away from it. I know that you're a reader. I'm not.
I'm a reader. I definitely try to stay away from self-help. If it's like anything that's self-based, I will try to kind of go away from it.
Right.
Just for the simple fact that even, and I might be completely wrong here, but and to each their own. But like when I think of even self-help, like I feel like that's even rooted in self.
Right.
And
right. I even stay away from even faith-based, like,
yeah, you stay away from Christian stuff
like that. Yeah, just I don't know how to read, so it has to be
you don't
picture
know how
books.
To read.
if I can get a biblical picture book, no. But what I mean is, even like the Garrett LaVault,
Okay.
He suggests all these great books to me.
Sure, sure.
And I just find myself starting them, and then I just back off of them because
I gotcha.
It gets my head into a place that I don't want it to be. Okay. And I just kind of fall back on, you know, I know God's got me.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's where I fall back to, because if I start thinking about it, I know I'm a, you know, piece of crap. So I can't. So there's no forgiving me.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that's a good point that, you know, we can't ourselves forgive ourselves. Hmm. But with God and with the Holy Spirit and with the fact that Jesus and what all he done for us, that's how we're forgiven.
Yeah.
And all of what we think and we feel with that needs to be rooted in that. It needs to be rooted in Jesus. It needs to be rooted in the gospel. And that's, man, that's, I remember, I think it was my counselor, maybe, but someone said to me, you need to preach to yourself daily. You need to preach the gospel. Just reiterate the gospel to yourself daily. Because it keeps in your mind the freshness of that forgiveness and what God done for you. And that's what I try to do it. But you know, I can't say that I've mastered it.
Well, I don't think none of us have, really.
But I think that's if someone asks me, okay, what's the practical way of, you know, if you were going to tell somebody how to forgive yourself and move on, I think it would be starting with, okay, preach to yourself daily. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. Or just any time that you feel like you're feeling reminded of your past, preach the gospel to yourself.
To yourself.
Just sit there and think about
one
it or
thing
read
that
it.
I don't, what, one thing that I notice when you surround yourself, like just our small group, Angie and I have a great small group. Mm-hmm. Jack's, the Prices, the Hunley. I mean, just, they're all great people. And you find yourself looking at these people thinking, these are fantastic people.
Yeah.
And then you look inside and you go, I don't belong here. It's like the Sesame Street. One of these things does not belong here. And it's me.
Right.
And once I step back, I get it. It's you too. And it's the Prices too.
Sure.
When you live in your own head, it's always you that doesn't fit in.
Sure.
And that's part of the hard part of surrounding yourself with people like that. And not, we all acknowledge that we're broken people, but unless you're really talking openly about your brokenness,
yep.
It's headspace. It's yep. not really
that's it.
Coming out and forgiving yourself and that's realizing it. The importance of forgiving yourself.
That's it. I've said a lot of times, you know, I stated many times over the past, you know, 5 to 6 years how broken I was, but that's where it stopped.
Right. Yeah. If you don't share that brokenness with anybody.
Right. And I was just closed off with it. And I thought I'm holy enough to where I can fix myself.
Mm.
You know, I've learned all of the jargon enough to where I can fix myself.
You know, when I first became a Christian, I used to tell myself, I am never going to speak in Christianese.
Yeah, Christianese.
You know, right? all the terms that we use and all the colloquials and all the...
Blessed and highly favored.
Yes. You know, God is good, you know, all the time, God. And I'm never doing that.
Right, right.
But... You know, unfortunately, it's all true, and you end up speaking that way because
I remember my first day of counseling. I went through biblical counseling, and my first day, my counselor asked me a question, and I answered in a very churchy way. And he stopped me and he said, "We're going to get nowhere."
Is this what we're doing? Is this the game we're playing?
He said, "We're not going to make any progress if you give me a churchy answer."
Yeah.
So I learned over the course of that time with him that I had to be open. I had to be, you know, vulnerable. I had to be transparent or nothing that I was dealing with. And I still wasn't completely transparent with
him. Churchy talk, while it sounds good and stuff, it never works.
Right.
It never, especially if you're, you know, witnessing to somebody and they're not a Christ follower and you're churchy talking them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the other side, and you're like, what? Absolutely. What are they saying?
It kind of makes me think of, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and he's very much the type that when he asks you how you are, he doesn't expect like the, you know, the usual either a churchy answer or the, oh, you know.
He wants to know how you are.
Living the dream. You know how everybody, oh, living the dream. Mm-hmm. He literally wants to know how you are. He wants to know how your soul is. He wants to know how your heart is. It also brought me back to a book I read called How's Your Soul?
You always read.
I know. I love reading. But it talks about that deep question. Like, we've lost that sense of care where when we ask, one another. Yeah. How are you? Really, I want to know how you are.
Brian's talked about that on stage.
He has.
You don't really want to know how that person is.
Right, right.
It's just, you know, how are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I've tried my best to be vulnerable at when people ask me how I am, even to their shock. Like, oh, you really answered. You really went there. Like, yeah, because I want to be open.
I've had people actually be open with me, and then I have to tell them, I really didn't care. That's horrible.
Oh, Mike.
I got to forgive myself for that one.
But you know what? You are forgiven. You don't have to forgive yourself.
That's true.
You are forgiven.
I can't forgive myself anyway.
But here's a question that I have, I guess, when I'm thinking about this, and I think this is just where my mind goes, and I don't have like a theological question about this. It's just something to throw out in the air. If God tells us we have to forgive one another, does that lump us in to ourselves? Like, does that lump ourselves in
absolutely
to forgiving? You know what
sure
I mean? Because we have to
forgive.
Well,
because remember, we're not only called to forgive, we're called to model His.
Absolutely.
You know, what He modeled to us, we're modeling to others.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be the light. So absolutely, yeah, that fits, yeah, in there.
So we have to forgive ourselves and walk in that and believe in that. Because honestly, if we're not forgiving ourselves, then I think, in my mind, there's a disbelief. There's a disbelief that comes in that, okay, if we're really not believing that we're forgiven or we're not forgiving ourselves, are we really believing that God forgave us?
Right. How true is it?
Yeah. Exactly. How true is, you know,
so
how
like
far does His forgiveness go?
When you ate that large Godfather's pizza last night, you can forgive yourself.
Is that your pizza of choice, Godfather's pizza?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, mm-hmm.
Is it that good?
It's so good.
Okay. All right. Angie, what do you think? Yeah, she's on.
What's your go-to pizza?
Man, if I'm gonna blow a meal on pizza, it's probably going to be Pizza Hut. Pan pizza.
What is wrong with you?
It's nostalgic.
That's like generic pizza.
It's nostalgic. I think Little Caesars is way more generic than...
Well, I agree with that. But nostalgia?
Yeah.
Can you have nostalgia for a pizza?
Oh, for sure. Huh. Growing up, man, every Tuesday, $5 pizzas at Pizza Hut.
I had the biggest sense of nostalgia the other day. Angie and I went to the Restore.
Okay.
And I picked up a book, a woodworking book, an old woodworking book.
Okay.
And it happened to be a book that was from the Lincoln Library. And I opened it, and I was just scanning through the pages, and that smell of the old Lincoln Library... No, I'm not kidding. It was so strong.
That's
and
awesome,
And I was
though.
Like, oh my gosh, this had to have come from the North Branch of Lincoln Library. I spent hours.
That's incredible.
Hours in the
that.
Library, now that I don't read.
But you can't read.
Speaking of nostalgia, that was the biggest sense of nostalgia I've had in a long time.
That's awesome.
It is kind of awesome. But
yeah. I went to a thrift store the other day, and I bought a piece of wood that someone had done woodworking on. Mm-hmm. So... you know, a little bit of a connection there.
Your transitions here are just as bad as on the Mike and Cody show.
You were talking about thrift stores.
Oh, because the word wood came up, then it's a transition.
Woodworking?
Oh, my.
That wasn't goodness. Really a transition. That was a play on to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. How did that come up with nostalgia, though?
Because it brought me back to the days of being in the hills of West Virginia and being surrounded by wood.
You're an idiot. You are an absolute idiot.
There's not much wood here around the farmlands.
What are you talking about?
I don't see any wood.
There's like five trees out there that we planted.
Just five. Just five.
Just five.
Oh, man. What else you got going on, Mike?
What else do I have going on?
What did you do over the summer? Tell me about your summer.
Oh, summer. Well, you know what we did all summer. We went on the Hope Students Mission Trip.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Where'd you go?
We went to Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, close to my home.
It is close to your home, and we had a great time, and we served a lot of people. Unfortunately, when we came back, we found out that that heavy flooding that was in Kentucky was the exact place, like to the building where we were working.
I was wondering if it was like the exact.
It was pretty bad, so we were all kind of heavy-hearted.
Wow.
Couple of us, like immediate, was like, can we take some time off and go? And it just, it didn't work out, but... But that was our mission trip. Then we went to CIY Move.
Yeah, which is like a camp.
Yeah,
it's camp.
Youth camp. And we went to Michigan for that. And that's a week-long event.
Very cool.
Every year is fantastic. You talk about isolating yourself into faith and big decisions made. Mm-hmm. That's the place where it happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then other than that, I've got, two in college and one is a freshman, and they go to school, and so does my money.
I guess so. Yeah. So does your money.
My money and my kids go to college.
I don't have that problem.
Well, you've got a dog.
I got a dog, yeah.
And on the way over, he says, that dog's like my son.
Yeah, he is. He's my son.
I gotta smack you in the face.
But I don't put clothes on him.
Anybody who says a pet is a child.
I don't put clothes on him.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't dress him up or anything like that.
That's horrible to say that that's my kid.
I mean, I buy him a lot of food.
Well, you buy yourself a lot of food.
That's true.
Speaking of which, you're not even going out to dinner with us afterwards.
I know.
What's wrong with you? You disappoint me every time.
I know. I'm a disappointment, really. Mm. I'm a bad apple.
You are a bad apple. Big, fat, bad apple.
Oh,
so what's
man.
Going on with you? What do you got going on?
We're back to work, back to school.
Oh, yeah, back to school today, actually.
Yeah, back to school. Kids are back to school today. Got a new position. So just been working on a lot of schedules, a lot of reading.
Any punching?
Any
Did you
what?
Punch any of them yet?
Punch it? No, not yet.
You're not yet?
Not yet.
Man, I couldn't. You know, when I was young, I wanted to be a teacher, and then I realized you had to put up with kids.
Yeah.
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 Well, I guess you could adult teach, but
I went from working with one student. Now I'm working with about 65.
Oh my!
Throughout the course.
Oh, because you mean from summer to, or even from last year to this year?
Yeah, from last year to this year. So my new job is I work with fourth through sixth graders.
Is it overwhelming?
Not yet, but right now it's just been a lot of schedules, a lot of reading and getting prepared for all the courses that I'm going to be working with them on. So because they're not with me yet. They're not.
Gotcha.
Where I'm
do
at.
Do you do you bring any elements of your faith into the classroom?
Oh man, I try to live out the best way I can in a God-centered way.
Right. So it's a secular school, I assume.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so and you really can't even mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly. But I try to. What I've tried to do is I've tried to use my kindness and my love and my care as the pulpit.
Right.
It's like if I can't say Jesus, then I hope that you see Jesus and how much I care and how kind I am and how much I just genuinely love being here and working with the students.
Right.
That's tough.
That is tough. That's tough. Because we had Mike on the Mike and Cody show
Yeah,
he was the same way. He's like, that's where he wants to show his faith.
It's, absolutely,
it's with those kids and in that classroom. And I was wondering if you had the same.
Yeah, what an incredible feeling. Guy he was.
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah,
that whole family's fantastic.
Yeah,
well, I think everybody in this church is fantastic. It feels like
when I transitioned from like pulpit ministry, when I transitioned from being a pastor into the workforce and working in a school, I really was kind of lost. I really was like, how am I ever going to have a ministry? How am I ever going to minister if I'm stuck in this secular workplace? And I remember hearing a pastor actually talk about it a couple years ago. he talked about the fact he was a full-time pastor and a full-time, I can't remember what he'd done, maybe insurance in the workforce. And he used that to network and to connect and to kind of show his love for God in his own way. Like you can't always go out and, you know, preach from your workplace or whatever. Right. And you can't explicitly say Jesus a lot of times, but there are ways where that love and that peace and that care and that kindness and that generosity can show through. And because I've met people that they said nothing about Jesus, yet I knew something was up with them.
Right,
their hearts were
right.
They're
living different. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I learned they're a Christian.
Sure.
And also the opposite. Like,
yeah,
bad
yeah,
things,
yeah.
And then learned they were Christian.
Yeah, the industry I work in the cable industry.
Right.
And yeah, I'm like the unicorn. And so I don't, I'm pretty open with my faith at work because I it's blue collar. Nobody really cares. It's not I'm not going to get fired if I say Jesus or you know, if I talk about my faith. So I talk about it quite a bit.
Right.
Probably on deaf ears most of the time. But yeah, I'm thankful that I have a platform that I can do that with. And it would be tough for me to be in corporate America and not be able to speak you know, freely about my faith. That would be tough.
The one thing I've done is church is so ingrained in me. And Jesus is just a big part of who I am and my story that they hear about, you know, oh, I'm doing this at the church or I'm doing this at the church or
It starts out that way, doesn't it? What are you doing tonight? Well, we got, you know,
well, I got church or well, I'm at the church,
student ministry, we're going, you know,
and even a lot of the kids, they go to church, some of the kids, and they will, talk about going to church. Hey, I'm going to church today. Teachers will ask them what they are doing.
Bring up
going
your podcast.
Church. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So there are ways that I do kind of that people know. They're going to know that I'm, you know.
Sure. Yeah. If you
until
if you
a kid ticks
Christian
me off,
lifestyle,
and then
if you live an actual Christian life, it's going to come out in everything you do.
Until a kid ticks me off, and then I cuss at him.
Oh, boy.
That's not happened, so I'm just joking.
Oh, boy. I had you on a pedestal. You've fallen now. Dude,
for anybody listening, I have never cussed a child out. For anyone listening,
me, yes, child, no,
maybe Mike. No, but yeah, that's a very good question about you know faith in the workplace. That's a it's a really good question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it has to be you know in the face type
explicit.
Faith.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely ways if you want to preach the truth and you want to show the light, there's ways to do it.
Yeah,
and that's just it. Showing kindness, being different than what the world all has to offer.
Being different, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is, and I do remember really struggling with that, not knowing how to do it. But then just kind of, you know, the more I was in it, like, man, you know, my pulpit doesn't have to be an actual stage. It doesn't have to be a sermon. It could be how I treat these students. It could be how I treat my coworkers, not even from the students aspect. It could be how I treat who I work with.
Were you here when Brian was preaching about Monday mornings?
Absolutely.
That hit me so strong is you wake up Monday morning and you live the best life you can for Jesus through your work.
On Monday.
And it hit me so hard that series. And that's
just
it. Yeah, it was good. And it just got me thinking of the different ways that I could bring up my faith in front of my coworkers.
It was called Made for Mondays, wasn't it?
Made
for Mondays something. Or Made to
Manic
Work?
Manic Mondays.
Yeah, something like that.
Blue Monday.
Angie disagrees.
Monday.
Manic Monday. That's a song, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a Bangles song, isn't it?
That's before my time.
I'm old.
Just
so when is this thing going to air?
This episode?
Yeah.
It will air 2 days from when we're recording it.
2 days from when we're recording it.
Yeah,
so,
man. Yeah.
Like the 21st.
What is it? No.
I was trying to back it up.
19th.
It's Friday night. We're ready to go rock and roll.
Yeah. It's got to air on Friday, man, so they have all weekend to listen.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
You send it out? Who you send it out to? Who do you send this out to?
Man, I hit submit, and the people send it out everywhere.
Through the airwaves.
Through the airwaves.
You were telling me that somebody listened to our last podcast in the UK.
Yeah, we got UK and Germany.
What?
Yeah. And there's another one, too.
I had a friend call me from Florida or text me from Florida and said that they listened to it. I'm like, how did you even hear about it?
Yeah. I'm just kind of like, some days I'm like, why do I even do this? But then I'm like, yeah, somebody's listening. So I don't
except know. For like the LaVault episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Garrett LaVault's episode, man. They're struggling.
It was. What's the show about nothing?
The show about nothing was the one I done, just me ranting about movies.
Well, the LaVault one was even nothing about nothing.
Because we literally used that as our catch-up.
Yeah.
You know, so that was just us, like, we just sat down and hit record.
It was more like mustard. Because it was a turd.
Poor Garrett, man. I thought it was a pretty solid episode. Didn't you listen to the whole thing? I tied in a snow tubing accident.
No, by the time 5 minutes come around,
missed it. You missed the tie-in at the end.
Angie started listening to it, and at 5 minutes in, she threw her headphones and said, I can't listen to this blithering idiot anymore.
Who, Garrett?
Yes. She said, Cody's pretty good. Garrett, nah.
You know, poor Garrett's not even here to defend himself.
That's the only way I get away with it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's tougher than
he may not even listen to this. Maybe you don't even listen. If he's not on it, maybe you don't listen.
Ooh, yeah. He's got an ego.
It's not important. He doesn't. He doesn't have an ego. We love Garrett. Mike, I love you. I really do. I'm going to have a moment, and you're looking at me like... What are you going to say?
I was going to retort, but then, you know.
You can retort.
No.
I like retorting.
No, because you'd have to edit.
Oh, man. It's so fun.
The ambiguous thing.
It's fun doing life with you, bro.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is fun. I absolutely love our show.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I love coming on here with you, but people are going to get so bored with us.
That's okay.
As long as we're having fun, who cares?
I've never had a friend so old.
I've never had a friend
so... Don't say it.
So, you fill it in.
You are fat.
No!
Oh, no!
I was going to say stupid.
Oh, stupid. Oh.
Like, I've never seen a head so big on a person
before. Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like my head's small compared to my body.
It's Beetlejuice type of thing.
Oh, goodness.
Is there anything else we can slam? I mean, we've got LaVault, your head.
They gave us a room in this church to do this podcast.
I know. That's why I didn't retort.
We're just blasting everybody.
It's like the old Dean Martin roast. I loved those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are all the roasts are good.
I'm right in my bailiwick right there when I can diss somebody. Absolutely. I'm happy.
That's a love language, man. Yeah, roasting.
Absolutely. Come it's on. A love language. Shaming is my game.
Oh man, listen, it's always a pleasure
catching
up with you. Forgive you.
Yeah, I've forgiven myself for every bad thing I've said to you already.
I forgive you. Oh, man.
Are we done already?
We're done already,
Oh, my gosh. How long has it been?
Yeah, I don't know.
Too long, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if they're still listening at this point, we got some fans.
Yeah, we do have some fans. I'm free to sign autographs anywhere between after the 10:45.
Yeah, look for the big guy in a hat.
Yeah. No, there's quite a few of us now. The handsome guy in the hat.
Okay.
And then you'll never get my autograph.
You know, I got to tell you this. Dad was like, who's the hippie in the picture with you?
The hippie?
And I said, Mike's not a hippie.
Said, the hippie?
He said.
Zoinky, Scoo!
I said, no, I don't think Mike's a hippie, Dad.
No, I'm definitely not a hippie.
That's awesome. All right, hippie, man.
What kind of parents do you have?
Great ones.
Oh, West Virginia.
And they're listening.
I love you guys.
And they love Mike.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. They still talk about your episode about the reference you made to the underwear.
This one here isn't going to be as highfalutin.
All right, man. Well, listen, guys, it's so awesome to bring you another episode. It's so awesome to hang out with my brother Mike. Remember, God is good, you are loved, and this is the Bad Apples Podcast.
Goodbye, everybody.